Hey there, Rob Cesternino here with some bonus content from our Patreon podcast feed. This week, we talked about Survivor All-Stars in our top 40 all-time rankings countdown. We got to so many things over the course of 4+ hours with Shannon Gus and Matt Liguori. We did not have time to get to questions, and so I didn't want to leave you hanging, so I decided to share this week's a patron-only podcast in the main feed for our listeners who missed out on hearing the questions in this Wednesday night's panel. If you like what you hear, this is just a little sample of what you get as a patron of Rob as a Podcast. We have several weekly podcasts that we do, including the Patron 5 for 5 with the First Lady of Podcasting, our monthly patron cast, and the weekly feedback show for the top 40 rankings. Plus, we've got a ton of patron activities that we are doing right now with our community. And just to make it easier for our brand new patrons, I am now doing a monthly orientation meet and greet hangout with our new patrons where I'll explain how to access all the benefits. And then we have plenty of Q&A at the end of the month. All of that is waiting for you at robswebsite.com/patron. Enjoy our Survivor All-Stars feedback show. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's ready to go back one more time to Survivor All-Stars. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's our patron feedback show, the show that we do every week, keeping our conversation going about each season of the Top 40 Season Countdown. And today, we will be continuing our discussion of Survivor All-Stars. And we have a lot to talk about because we went 4+ hours with Shannon Gus and Matt Liguori and didn't get to a single question from the listeners. So we have a lot to unpack, and we have two great patrons here to talk about it here with us today as we are talking Survivor All-Stars. First, let's check in with Lauren Foley. Lauren, how are you?
I'm good. Really excited to be here. How are you?
Doing great, Lauren. Lauren, can you tell us a little bit about why you wanted to chat about Survivor All-Stars with us?
I really love it for its kind of legacy and how it was kind of a turning point for the series. And we get so many wonderful moments from returnee seasons because of its legacy. And, you know, there's a reason that all reality shows who have returnee seasons call them all stars. So
okay, this got the ball rolling. We got it started back in 2003. All right, Lauren, happy to have you here with us, and then also here to talk about some Survivor All Stars is Rachel Hawthorne. Rachel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, yes. Little Rob? As Big Tom calls you.
Hey, Little Rob. Yes, I am doing great. Very excited to talk some more about this. Had a lot of fun on Wednesday going back to this. Rachel, why did you want to talk about All Stars with us?
Well, first, I'm thrilled to be here on one of the seasons that you played on. But, you know, I watched Borneo live, and then we kind of fell in some financial hard times, and we stumbled upon DVDs of Australia and All Stars. And for some reason, I just rewatched and rewatched those DVDs that I happened to get for like $5 at a garage sale. And as a kid, I was probably like 13, 14 at the time. I loved the season. Now as an adult, I kind of, this rewatch, I have to say, I didn't enjoy it as much. But
yeah. Same.
It's still classic.
Yes. Okay. So very excited to get into everything and take some more questions and hear what you two have to say about this season. And of course, we did not get to any questions. I felt like that the listeners got a little bit, I made a deal with them. I told them that I would answer questions on the podcast if I could. If I could, I could not. So... to make it up to them, that I'm going to put this podcast out for everybody to hear, what goes on in the patron feedback show. So if you are not a patron and you are listening to this, this is a little bit of a sneak peek of the kind of content that we're doing here in the Patreon podcast feed, and it's the start of a brand new month, the month of May. So it's a great time to jump in and see everything we have going on for our patrons, which later on tonight, I'll be doing our first ever patron karaoke night. Don't tell Roger Sexton. So very excited about that. Going back to Wednesday night, that I put something out there. I put myself on the line and I said, you know what? I want to do something nice. I have my Survivor All-Stars game-worn jersey, my uniform from that I was voted out of the game in, wearing these clothes some 17-some-odd years ago. And so we said, let's put this up on eBay and see what happens. And so what I can show you is I give you a little bit of an update on where we're at on the eBay auction for my Survivor All-Stars game-worn clothes, okay? As you can see, here we have, so on eBay, Rob Cesarino Survivor All-Stars game-worn clothes, barely used. And somehow, the bidding, condition like new, the bidding is currently at $600. Wow. Check that out.
Reminds me of when they used to put up the votes and all the torches and stuff in like 2001. And
yeah.
It went to Elizabeth Glazer.
Well, here.
This is Rain.
Yes,
this
we are going to, 100% of the proceeds from this auction are going to go to Rain, which is the Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network. So this is going to a good cause. So I did not think that. I thought like maybe $100 for the Survivor, the All-Stars game-worn clothes. Maybe people think it's Boston Rob's clothes. But anyway, still 5 days to go there on that auction. And then also, as I was scrolling through, look at this. Somebody's trying to sell this Survivor All-Stars party pass featuring Rob Cesternino. Somebody thinks they're going to get $50 for this Survivor All-Stars party pass with my face on it. That was like the lanyard you got to get into the party. And it has on the back...
Wow.
The name of the bar was Crowbar, which is so funny because Big Tom used to say, Rob and Amber, they're going to have a Survivor baby and they're going to name it Crowbar. How did Big Tom know that was going to be the name of the place where the after party was going to be? All right. There you go. I think I have one of these around. Nice to know if it was worth $50. Let me see if there's any other merch around here on eBay. No, that's it. All right. So that's what's going on with that. If anybody is interested in following the auction, go to robhasawebsite.com/S8Clothes. All right. Lauren, Rachel, was there anything that we missed on Wednesday night in our discussion of Survivor All-Stars? We nailed it. We got everything.
Oh, man. That's a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how about this? Was there anything in particular that jumped out to you that you want to expand upon?
I have like just a couple little notes, but I mean, I do want to say that like, Rob, when you got voted off, Amber and Tom are in the water talking, you know, trying to get on the same page to make sure that you're the right person to vote off. And he said, you know, Amber says he's too smart. And Big Tom, does he say, I smell you?
Yeah.
At that point, okay. Mm-hmm. I rewound with closed captioning on two different streaming services.
Yeah.
I actually wrote down some quotes from this season, and that was one of the ones I wrote down. Mm-hmm.
Big Tom was very fun to be around. That I really enjoyed his company when I was out there. Yeah, you could argue very that Amber, the most animated you see her the entire season, is trying to get me voted out.
Personality really came through.
She's I think very a lot of nice. Season,
yeah.
Like is she a good TV person? I don't know. Not my place to say. But you know, she's a nice person, and that like I think she was like cast to be, you know, girl next door in Survivor Australia. She's basically does a you know. That's what she's there to do. You know, super nice. I don't think that you get too many Ambers cast on Survivor in 2021.
Definitely not.
Yeah. I don't even know how she got on the show. Like, I want to say she went to like an open call. She was like working at a gym or something, and she went to like an open call, and they said, oh, okay. You seem like a normal person.
She was
young. Yeah.
She was young the first time she played.
Mm-hmm. I always wondered if they had purposely gone after people who would strategize actively mm-hmm. for Australia. And if that was true, they must have gotten a good impression from her,
mm-hmm.
Both to play an archetype and to be kind of, at least I wouldn't say super active, but at least do more than just Bagong, mm-hmm. which we heard the first time from Sheehan.
Yeah, Sheehan mm-hmm. used it. She also referenced David Bloomberg's Why Blank Lost in Thailand. So she's really bringing like the internet culture to the show. Sheehan is doing all right. Rachel, anything that you want to expand on from what we talked about on Wednesday?
One thing I thought was interesting this time going back on the rewatch was at your tribal council.
Yes.
It's all about Boston Rob and Amber's yeah. relationship, but it is never brought up again. Jeff never talks about it again. It's just assumed. It's mm-hmm. like, I can't imagine that they're going in and spending hours and hours on this, on the tribal councils. Everyone says that they're so long. And it's not being brought up. It's just kind of weird that was never brought to our screen again.
Yeah, they don't go again until the Lex vote. So I kind of feel like that it's sort of just like Rob and Amber are a thing. Like, it was our first tribal council, first time there. Jeff's like, hey, what's this? Let me bring this up. But then, like, by the time like the Lex vote is happening, it's like it's not even like a novel thing to talk about. Like, oh, yeah, of course, Rob and Amber are a couple. Did you see what happened when she got split up? I mean, Amber goes to the tribal council with Lex, but I think it's just like so established at that point that it's not like a interesting nuance to bring up when the whole Lex and Rob thing has gone down.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's weird. Like my whole boot tribal council like has nothing to do with anything going on with me. We're talking about like Rob and Amber's relationship.
Usually, you get a hint of who's going out by the tribal council, but Jeff was just eating up all the Rob and Amber stuff. It was like, come on.
yeah. I mean, it was weird. It was just like that. They just, gonna go after, like, I'm trying to mind my own business, and I'm just, like, getting, like, hit by, broadsided by something I don't even see coming, because there's no discussion even about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I just thought that was weird. Sheehan, I usually don't like her in the season, to be honest. I loved her this time.
Yes.
Like, yeah, girl.
What was it about Sheehan this time?
I loved her quote about Rich not being impressive downstairs, yep. but he's very impressive. I have to say, I think she has some points about Amber. I don't think she's the strategist that she thinks she is, but that Lex move, I mean, that is all Amber. Yeah, Rob said his little bit, but if Lex claims it was all Kathy, and Amber's the one going to Kathy begging her. So, I really enjoyed Sheehan. I don't like the eye rolling towards her end, but I can deal with it now.
Mm-hmm. She had, in my opinion, the best reaction to the Sue Richard incident. Mm-hmm. Like, just it held up. You know, there's a lot of things we can talk about.
She ended.
Yeah, I think so. She mm-hmm. She's very empathetic, and I think if she reacted in a very similar way, if that were to happen in our current culture, Nobody would cancel her for it.
She was before her time.
Yeah. I did think that and maybe I'm misremembering. I thought that she was like, defends, Richard. I feel like that she loves Richard, so much. And I felt like that she was, talking about, just defending, Richard more than, being, saying anything about Sue.
If she did, I might be misremembering, but I just remember, when they brought it up at the challenge that they ended up running for the stomp thing.
Yeah.
Which my dad built a replica of in our driveway when I was little. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. She wasn't there, of course, for the kind of the direct aftermath, but, Alicia really brought the net positive, I think, in,
yeah.
in that.
Alicia and Sue were always very close at Shapira. It seemed like that, you know, that was Sue's like closest friend that was out there was Alicia, and they seemed like they got along really well. And that makes a lot of sense that Alicia was there for Sue when that was going on. They were like a duo.
Alicia was a little harsh towards you about the rocks and
yeah, I loved Alicia so much. So just my personal backstory was there was a lot of like gamesmanship of people like hanging out before the All-Stars. And so Labor Day weekend 2002, I went to Boston. Boston Rob was having like a big like barbecue weekend. Like I think like his parents were going away and he was having like a big party at his house, like a barbecue. And then we all went to a Red Sox game, but I was there. I was there, Rob was there. Alicia was there. Kathy was there. The general was there. And you know, I felt like I got along great with Alicia. Like I drove her to where she to her train station an hour out of my way. And we had like a great conversation in a car ride. And I felt like so good with Alicia going into that game. And then even we had I don't know if it was maybe in like a deleted scene or something, but like we had a little bit of a deal, like me and her of like, hey, let's work together. But then she got kind of cranky. She's like, I think she's just like, you see it a lot on Survivor, like these people that are like super muscular, like have 0% body fat. She was kind of salty to be around, and you see she's feuding with Rob and a couple other people mentioned like it over the course of the season, but she's like so lovely not playing Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it was kind of a function of when we see a first vote for a group and they just kind of go after the, I don't know, I'm not saying an easy vote. Big Tom obviously didn't think so, but you know, just kind of like the group, she just go along to just point at one person and say,
yeah. Well, I think I was kind of ended up being at the, I don't think I was at the bottom when the game started, but I feel like that after a couple of days, it was like, I think that Sue or Alicia would have gone had we voted earlier. But I feel like that at that point, like Alicia and Amber had really like rekindled whatever friendship they had from Australia. And I sort of had me on the outs by that point. Could I just bring up something else about Kathy that I feel like I noticed from, like, I feel like Kathy, like Boston Rob could, do anything. And I feel like that Kathy has like a Stockholm syndrome with Boston Rob. Like no matter what, like Boston Rob does, like, I feel like she's still gonna, it's like she votes for him in the end. Like, I feel like she still comes around and is like, you know, that Rob, he's like, okay, yes, he murdered 72 people, but I still think there's something good there. I just deep down, she's like the ultimate like Boston Rob apologist.
And it seems like he knew that he got her vote because they say that she ends the swing vote. And I'm like, how do you think that Kathy's voting for you? Mm-hmm. But she did.
Yeah.
Kathy said it was a little not great. For All Stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which part? Boston Rob was not great? Or Kathy's edit was not great?
Kathy's edit. The Jenna stuff, I mean, I still love her, but the Jenna stuff wasn't too great. And the Sue
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, she had some misses. She had some misses.
I would love to think, I don't know her at all, of course, Rob, you do, but I would love to think that that wouldn't happen anymore.
And it's years later?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's 17 years later. I think everybody would have treated that very differently from how it went back in the real time. Is there anything else that the two of you would like to address before we get into some questions?
I have a couple things.
Oh, go for it.
I'm just... like pages and pages of notes here. I just like, it's really interesting to me that, that the jury, I looked at how the jury voted, and with the exception of Kathy, you have Rob and Rob getting voted for by Rupert and Jenna, who had kind of the most front row seat to his dominance the entire way, at least for the entire time. And they're probably watching it. I don't know if they're a little, it's just interesting that, like, I think besides what Lex and Kathy are early in the jury, mm-hmm. and the early jury votes for Amber.
Yeah.
You know, were they being influenced at Ponderosa by that narrative and
bitter jury potentially? Yeah. That's one of the things that I've sort of like looked at a little bit with how the jury votes, where I feel like that the people who get voted off closer to the end tend to have a better finger on the pulse of how everything went.
And I think that if we knew at the time, or if all these players had known at the time that this, there were going to be more returnee seasons, I've wondered if the jury wouldn't have been as bitter. I can see that these people saying, like, God, this was my one second chance, mm-hmm. you know, and plenty of them are going to come back to play again. Mm-hmm. And so if we always knew that it was going to be on for upwards of 40 seasons,
yeah,
you know, and there were going to be so many returnee chances, would people have been as bitter?
Yeah. Tina's going to come back. Then Jerry is going to come back. Ethan's going to come back. Colby's going to come back. Rob is going to come back. Amber is going to come back. Rupert is going to come back. Did I miss anybody along the way? I think that's it. What's that, 7 or 8 returnees from out of the 18?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Many have gotten offers, I think.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, a lot of people end up coming back. And yeah, so I do wonder if it would have been more of like, come on. Oh, you got us this time. It's just a game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't know. We didn't know, Lauren. It was a different time.
I'm glad it's still here.
Yes, me too. What else from your notes from Wednesday's show?
Oh, let's see here. I found it. I reread some stuff from Dalton Ross.
Yes.
At the time, and he had some interesting things about how he said that the season needed more fighting and more tension.
More fighting?
That's what he said. Yes.
That's a wild take from Dalton Ross.
And I guess one thing, you know, he said that Lex stood out as a possible winner. And one thing I noticed on the rewatch was I just appreciated how Lex is so strategic, mm-hmm. and is, you know, I think probably, besides Boss and Rob, the only other like strategic powerhouse. I was trying to figure out if their fight was like a heavyweight fight, because you got Lex, who's doing really good jury management and is thinking almost more strategically in whether to bring Ethan or not. Mm-hmm. Versus, I appreciate that, versus Jen is just emotional, like, I hate them. You know, mm-hmm. at least there's a reason, you know, for it. Mm-hmm. You know, but then of course he makes the biggest blunder of all.
Yeah. So. That is an interesting scenario to imagine, where Lex gets to the final tribal council. Like, what, is a jury just as bitter at Lex about, like, you know, Lex, that, this was, you know, we were supposed to be friends. You betrayed us. And then to see sort of like from the other side, hey, Lex, you know, we had a friendship and you betrayed us for a stack of greenbacks. How could you do this? And then it's just like, what would that have been in sort of like the bizarro universe? Be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to talk about this. I had this from my little shower thoughts talking about Survivor All-Stars this week, was if this was a modern season, okay, a couple of things are going to be different. One, it's a final three. I actually feel like that Jenna Lewis, I think, is going to win if it's a final three. Really changes things up.
Trying to think of who the jury is.
So yeah. If you wanted to have a Gabon jury, then add Jerry to the jury.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put Jerry on the jury, it's a little bit of a tongue twister. And then it's Jenna Lewis. I think Jenna Lewis has this.
I mean, the only thing that makes me hesitant about that is if it's a modern season, they're respecting strategy the more,
mm-hmm.
probably, which, and I'm not saying Jenna definitely did have strategy, but
yeah.
Was it more obvious?
Yeah, Jenna didn't win any challenges. She didn't have really any big moves other than, hey, let's vote out the winners. So Yeah, maybe the jury. But I still think that this jury is so bitter. I still don't think that necessarily they're going to vote for. Like, I think she collects enough votes, especially if it's a 7-person jury. Like, I think she's going to collect some votes. Like, I think that maybe Kathy could still vote for Rob. Maybe Sheehan, who hates Jenna Lewis, is going to still vote. I don't know what Jerry would do. Would she put a vote on Amber? But I think that just by the, like, I think she's got a Rupert. I think that Tom and Lex are going to both hate Rob and Amber so much. So that's at least 3. And Alicia is super. Maybe Alicia.
I forgot Alicia.
Maybe she still votes for Amber. But I think it could still be like at least 3-3-1.
Big split.
But then I was thinking about, all right, well, what if it was a truly modern season and we had Final Four fire making? So Amber wins the Final Four immunity, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What does Amber do here? Okay, it's Amber, Jenna Lewis, Rupert, and Boston Rob. I think she's going to probably take Jenna Lewis to the final three and put Boston Rob into the fire making against Rupert.
That's what I was going to say.
Wouldn't that be interesting? I guess Rob would definitely do it, right? He definitely would. He definitely would, because that I've offline conversation that he was like very frank about that Dominic Abate blew it because he did not make the fire against Wendell. So he definitely would have put himself into the fire making, but that would have been a wild, Rupert versus Boston Rob at Final Four fire making.
Well, also, if it's a modern season, who are the two extra players?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, usually 20.
Get the cast to 20. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, I feel better about my spot in a 10-person tribe than a 6-person tribe. Also, more of a chance there, but. Yeah, I think, I mean, Sean Rector has said that he was a person, but that's another person for, in Boston Rob's corner. And then, I don't know.
Oh, true.
Yeah. Probably add Sean Envy.
Yeah, great choices. Mm-hmm. I also was thinking about this. I just have a soft spot in my heart for Greg Bewis. And
yeah.
I don't think he would have been on the list, but Clarence Black is so stupid.
I love Clarence. Yeah. So Greg, I don't think that they had even like had a phone number for him at this point in time. I always felt like that they wanted Colleen. They couldn't get Colleen, so they got Jenna. They wanted Elizabeth Hasselbeck. They couldn't get Elizabeth Hasselbeck, so they got Amber. Like, I feel like they like had a couple people that were like the understudies for the people that they really wanted.
The sixth grader who wrote Romber on some notebooks in school is happy they chose the way they did.
Yeah. Let's take some questions from the listeners. Here we go. This is from Trevor Chong, who says, if there was an Edge of Extinction on this season and you, Rob C, were on the, I wish there was an Edge of Extinction. I would have much rather been on the Edge than been on the pre-jury trip. If you were on the jury, who would you have voted for at the time? I have always thought I would have voted for Boston Rob, over Amber. I think that's what I would have probably would have done, but I can't say for sure. I mean, I was always, I was friends with Rob from before the show happened, and I did feel betrayed, but I think ultimately I think I would have probably, been watching those tribal councils, and I felt like probably would have given Rob more of the credit than Amber. So I think I would have been a vote for Rob. So I don't know. Maybe if there was an Edge of Extinction, maybe he could have won. I don't know who Rudy would have voted for. Tina. Okay. How about this question from Shad Sanderson. What would have happened if Jenna Maraska never quit on Survivor? And let's just say that Jenna walked away from the game as opposed to quitting. So if Jenna hadn't left, does that change the season in a meaningful way?
I think that's the thing about Survivor, is the littlest thing you know, you can say, what if this happens? And then the whole game changes. Any littlest move changes the outcome. It's butterfly effect. Mm-hmm. But I think having another winner there definitely changes things up. They never really say what her relationship is with Lex. And he seems to be the leader of that tribe. And he's kind of like the boss and Rob. Like, okay, you're going next. You're going next.
She's pretty much invisible in the season up until she ends up leaving.
She only gets the mom edit. It's unfortunate.
Probably would have delayed. I think it could have delayed Ethan and Colby being voted out. And I think Colby was Lex's best shot if he were to ever, you know, take on the Shapira. You know, like once a merge hit, it could have kept, you know, I thought right out of the gate, maybe it's just because they were showing it more, but I thought Mogo Mogo had the best, like initial chemistry for a couple days. So it could have, I don't know, maybe kept that going.
Yeah. I mean, you had three big heavy hitters in Rich and Colby and Lex all on one tribe. So that's a lot of electricity over there. I do wonder how it might have affected the ultimate like tribe of. I'm trying to think. What's the right word for what happened to Saboga? Basically, the dissolving of Saboga. Because so Jenna and Ethan were at least in the early stages of their romantic relationship at that point, and I'm not sure how well known that was. And I do wonder if Mogo Mogo would have brought Ethan to Mogo Mogo, knowing Jenna Marasca was there. And it would have been interesting if you would have had like sort of like dueling like showmances in the season potentially if they did.
That would have been fun. I don't think they would have because Lex specifically says we brought Jerry, or I think it's Colby. Colby says we brought Jerry because we thought that Ethan had not bonded with her. And so they're trying to gain numbers that are just completely separate. If you bring one in and then all of a sudden there's a pair.
So could they have brought Rupert maybe when they have the draft? Might have been interesting.
Yeah.
Changes a lot. Yeah. Okay.
They still had first pick, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Michael Green wants to know, Rob, did you make any pregame alliances or were you contacted by anyone to see if you were going on the season? How do you think you would have done if you had been on one of the other tribes? Who would I have likely aligned with? So I would not say I had a pregame alliance with anybody, but I talked to Rich. I would have been very excited to work with Richard Hatch in the season. You know, obviously like I was, friendly with Jenna, but I do feel like that there probably was like a little bit of like a competition of, you know, I feel like I would have like, wanted to work with Jenna, but I feel like that I would have ultimately wanted to do better than Jenna if we were going to work together. But I think that like looking back at like the pieces on the board, like I feel like there's no way I actually could have done well without Jenna. Like at least that was a person who was willing to work with me as opposed to some of the other people that were there. And I just feel like I had like friendships with people, but I didn't really have like deals with people.
Is there a tribe that you, if you would have, obviously not Shapira, but
I think Mogo Mogo. I think it would have been like, I don't know which guy you would have taken off there and put me on Mogo Mogo. I think it would have been tough of like, maybe if you would have put Colby, maybe it's like too many like strong guys on one tribe to put Colby and Boston Rob over there. But I feel like that maybe if you put me there instead of, you know, switch me and Colby to Mogo Mogo. That's, but then you wouldn't have put Jenna Marasca on that team. So it would have really been tough to do.
The way they set up these tribes is crazy though.
Yes.
Saboga's got two different seasons with two pairs, Jerry and Tina and Rudy and Jenna, and then two winners. So really Rupert, if, you know, Tina and Ethan ganged up together, and then Jerry and Tina and Rudy and Jenna, really, Rupert's out. And no one even knows who he is at that point. Mm-hmm. And then there's two winners on Mogo Mogo. And then you're the highest placing person on Shapira. And then with the Australia again. So very that would not happen in Modern Survivor, in my opinion.
Yeah, they should have tried to put all the winners on one tribe.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. Rupert, yes. Rupert had alluded to the fourth wall.
Yes, what did he say?
Did you guys notice that? He said, you know, before we came out here, everyone's telling me they want me on my tribe and they want this and that. And I'd never picked up on that before, but I was really shocked that they let that slip through the editing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The pregame alliance thing and a lot of the Big Tom and Lex thing, which if Rob didn't think that they weren't a pregame alliance, I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. I always thought that when, you know, Tom says, can you check and make sure my alliance with Ethan?
That's funny. Know,
it was hilarious, but risky to say around Boss and Rob.
Mm-hmm. I think he's trying to make a joke out of it at that point. Like, I feel like it's so, like, exposed. He's just, like, you know, talking about it. And again, like, I don't think that, like, it's hard to sort of say, like, who had an alliance and who didn't. Like, you know, I think that Lex and Big Tom are like brothers. Like, but I don't think they said, like, all right, here's the alliance. Like, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this. It's just like, hey, like, I've got your back, you've got my back, and that's basically it. But I think that there's probably, like, a lot of, like, gray area in, like, calling it an alliance. It's like, we're friends, we're not an alliance. All right. Mm-hmm. Alex asks, Rob, do you stay in touch with anybody from the Shapara tribe? No, I don't. Probably Boston Rob is probably the person I hear from the most out of the Shapara tribe. I think that we talked with Big Tom on a podcast, like, I think during Winners at War. I haven't seen or heard from Alicia or Sue in a very long time. And yeah, I hear from Boston Rob every once in a while. And I text with Rob. And then Amber, I saw her at the Winners at War premiere.
I did love the premiere, having that mini Shapara reunion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then
the three of you.
Yeah, and then
wonderful
I saw.
Wonderful, you got that.
Also, I saw her at the season 39 finale. Also, that, oh, okay. I was walking to go out of the studio where they were doing that. I just saw, like, Amber, and she had, like, the four, like, little ducklings just, like, following her in a row, to go backstage over there. And she was like, "Hey, Sister Nino." I was like, Amber, what's happening?
Did Jeff tell her to leave the audience at the time?
No, she didn't have to skedaddle like
just
she
go
had
ahead
to do.
And go.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Looks so, such a bad look, Jeff. Stop.
Not great. Okay. Let's see. What else do we want to talk about from the questions? Cam with the C asked, with Shapara being the only tribe without a winner, how would the game have been different if Rob and Ethan switched starting tribes? Because Saboga had multiple winners. Okay. If you put me on Saboga, boy, what a disaster that tribe is going to be without even Ethan. Me and Rudy and Rupert?
No offense to you, Rob, but that is a good point. Although Rupert in Pearl Islands, he kind of dominated a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, maybe you could have switched, like, me and Rudy. Put Rudy with
so Rudy
with
be
Sue.
On Shapara.
Yeah.
Oh,
they have too many old guys with Rudy and Big Tom.
Oh, I just don't think he would have these kids. You know he wouldn't have been able to stand
too
there.
Young.
They're fun.
It's Rob and Amber. They're like dating, which, you know, I wouldn't do if it were me. This is a good question from Michaela, who wants to, how would Amber have done on Winners at War without Rob? All right, what if Boston Rob says, "Hey Amber, you got this one, I'll be home." What's the limit for Amber? I kind of feel like that she does very well.
I do too.
Who's coming for her?
Nobody.
Yeah. I mean, is Boston Rob still on 39? Probably.
Yeah.
But is Sandra really going to be that upset that he didn't say that Amber was coming?
Well, it would be the opposite. I don't think she would be mad if just Amber came,
they would
right?
have something to talk about.
Yeah. So I kind of
feel still
like,
think that feud is made up too.
Yeah, I don't think it's made up.
Oh, really?
I don't think that Sandra is like a actress like that.
Airplane? So bizarre. Mm-hmm. It was really bizarre.
She was really mad.
I believe it, but it was bizarre.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think, where does Amber go out then, if that's going to be where... Because I don't think she'd be the first person voted out. I wonder if they vote out Tyson in that spot at the first vote.
Was Tony the one kind of gunning for Tyson in the end?
I want to say, was it Sandra? Like, I almost feel like it was like the Yule, Sophie, Wendell, Nick group that were like saying like, oh, like I remember Sophie saying like, oh, it's the cool kids. It's Tyson, Kim, and Amber. Like, we got to take out somebody from that group. Maybe Kim could have gone out first from that group. Yeah.
I mean, Sophie would have told them that she has an idol, I think.
Yeah.
But I mean, although, why,
I don't think that happened yet. I don't think that happened yet. I think that happens in the next episode when Kim finds the idol.
Okay.
So, yeah, could have been Kim. And then Amber, like, I just think people leave her alone.
Yeah.
As long as she's helpful enough in the challenges, I think she's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe ultimately she gets like swallowed up in like the old school thing where she just doesn't have that many connections and she's not really like contributing a lot in the challenges at that point. So I think that she's probably not going to go too far if she has to go to a couple pre-merge tribal councils, but I think she's going to be around for a little bit longer.
Farther. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Rudy Moser wants to know, what was the number one thing from All Stars that Boston Rob took into his other games to be successful?
I've heard of his. Go ahead, Rachel. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Definitely. I think he's such a people person. Mm-hmm. He seems very charismatic. I think obviously the dominating and challenges helps him, but I think he has a way with people, especially that and this season is easy to say because he was young, but the way he was with like Natalie in Redemption Island, he really seems to have a way with younger people. And I think he found his little niche there in creating bonds and definitely like the pair thing. You can see it even in this season with Rupert and Jenna. And
Well, I definitely think go ahead, Lauren.
I think you get a like. I've heard him say that it wasn't until he started realizing and thinking about what other people were motivated by that he started playing a better game. So I think then it gains levels each time. So you know, first you're thinking about what your motivations are. That's Marquesas. Then what are other people's? Then what do people think that you want? Even if it's not what you want,
yeah,
you kind of gain this sort of levels of like, you know, they don't know we know they know. Mm-hmm. I stole that quote from Friends, but it's kind of like this levels of thinking and what makes a player really succeed.
Yeah, I think that he is definitely just with more life experience has like more like cards to play with people. Where in Survivor All Stars, like he, you know, basically like everybody knew him as sort of like, you know, this like 26-year-old guy. Whereas when he comes back and plays, especially in Survivor All Star or Heroes vs. Villains and Redemption Island, like he's able to be like, you know, he's still like, you know, able to like still have the same kind of relationship that he has like with Sean, with Grant, and sort of just be like a fun guy. And then, but with the young women, he's able to sort of like be like a more of like an older brother to them. And he's able to wear different hats and play different roles with other people. He's just as cutthroat, like what he does to Grant, what he does to Andrea. You know, he is still like gonna be able to like cut people when he needs to, but without the baggage of like the pre-existing relationship. I just think that he is much more thinking about like getting to the end with the right people and then what to say in that final tribal council, whereas like he does not have a great final tribal council in this season. No. Unfortunately,
I was shocked they were sitting on that rock saying, like, I'm not even thinking about what to say.
Yeah,
you may not.
That's true. Maybe, maybe their time together, their little honeymoon they had there together, maybe that that took them away from the game too much, especially Boston Rob. Amber did a good job in the final tribal. I think she stood her own with Tom, and I think she did a good job.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about this question, which is Ryan Chan. I remember hearing that Kelly Goldsmith got cut right before she was about to leave. How do you think she would have done had she replaced, say, Jenna Maraska or Sheehan? I think that she also said that when we spoke with her on Talking with T-Bird. All right. Lauren, what do you think? Kelly Goldsmith, how would she have done?
I think she makes it to the early merge.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not on the same time as Lex. I don't know who she replaces, but then I don't think it's been long enough for that feud to die down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's only
if Ethan's still there, then maybe it can be bridged a little bit.
Yeah, I think she's like neutral with Big Tom. Yeah, I think that maybe she would replace probably not Jenna or Sheehan. I kind of feel like that she replaces either Amber or Jenna Lewis. So put her on Shapira instead of Amber. Boy, do we have a whole different ball game.
Right? Do you think her and Alicia would be friends or just butt heads?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of like who she got along with. I don't know. That's hard to guess, but I think that they would probably get along. I mean, like Boston Rob is really like without like a lot of power then at that point where I feel like that I don't know if Kelly and Rob are going to get along great. Yeah,
Two big strategists who notice everything about people.
Yeah. And, you know, if you go back to Africa, she does not love like sort of like the control freak running the alliance. Like she seems to like really object to that. So, yeah, that would have been interesting to have her either on Shapira or replacing Jenna Lewis over on Mogo Mogo.
I think she'd be first boot on Shapira and probably last longer.
I would work with her. I would work with her. Maybe I'll be the first boot then.
No, you can go longer.
Okay. All right. I'll stick around. Okay. Let's see. Ryan was, how difficult was it to really understand Big Tom? I never struggled that much understanding Big Tom, but I do think as the season wore on, I think that Big Tom was so tired and exhausted that he was no longer making sense.
It seems that way.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. This is from Yotam. If Boston Rob wins, does he come back for season 20, season 22? How does Survivor history change? Rachel, what do you think?
He'll definitely come back for 20. I think redemption would have been Russell versus Rich in that scenario, though. I don't see...
Yeah, that's interesting.
I don't see Survivor as desperate to give Boston Rob the win that they think he deserved this season.
Yeah, because that at the 20-year reunion show, or the 10-year reunion show, or 20-season reunion, they really were hyping up a Richard Hatch versus Russell rivalry. Rachel, do you remember this?
I do. Yep. And Russell was like, oh, so this is the guy that everyone says I play like. And
yeah. Like
they shake hands and Rich is like dominating over Russell.
Yeah. So he's like way taller than him.
Towers over him.
Yeah. Because Rich Hatch is like, I invented this game. Rich is like, I know, I changed the game.
I perfected it. I'm sorry. That was terrible.
You know, I really do think that that's a good point. I do think that Redemption Island... what was going to be, you know, Hatch versus Hance. And Boston Rob just completely, like, came in and intercepted stole $1 million.
Same initials, which I'm realizing now that I have the same initials as those two, too.
Yes. Yes. Good things come in threes. So, yeah. I think that would have been wild. Okay. Who had the best angry juror speech, Michael wants to know. Lauren, do you have a pick for the best angry juror speech?
I think the most angry is Alicia, but I have to give it to Big Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to give Amber her answer to make Tom was the best answer she gave, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did you like about it?
I like the, you know, the fact that she said, you know, if honesty is what you need, you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very well summed up. And
she brought up a good point that it wasn't, their relationship wasn't the same as his relationship with Rob, mm-hmm. which I think was a little hypocritical on Tom's part in that, in how angry he was, even at treating her. Amber that way. Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's true. And we see that play out a lot in other seasons too. The people who feel the most betrayed, even though, you know, they might have been betrayed by somebody, they're most mad at the people who they thought they were good with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying to remember in my conversation with Boston Rob, like, I don't remember if he told me like that me and him were going to be final two and Amber and Tom were in the final four. And I'm like, I didn't even care. Like, I knew he was lying about that part. Like I thought I was in the four. I just thought he was lying to me about the, you know, the order. I thought that was, you know, I was at least in the four, but that was not the case. But he must have been telling Big Tom that, like, hey, Tom, it's me and you to the end. We're final two. Like, I love, like, Amber, I like her, but, you know, I don't want to go to the end with her. If I had to guess.
Right, but he didn't give Big Tom a car.
Didn't give Big Tom a car. No.
He wasn't picking him for the rewards and stuff like he was Amber. He made it very obvious who his number mm-hmm. two was.
Okay. Derek wants to know, who had the biggest fan support going into the season at the time?
I put Rupert in capital
letters.
Oh, yeah,
Rupert. That's a good one.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'm trying to, besides Rupert, like, I think it was just the popularity from the early stuff. Like, I think that probably Rudy,
Colby,
Ethan,
Colby.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the universe online as much at that time. I mean, I was in middle school, you know, it's just, I wasn't on Survivor Sox or anything like that. On my, you know, nice dial up internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess I would, I mean, how I, definitely Colby for sure, but I don't remember, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I had only seen Australian Borneo, so I was team Colby all the way, but still love Rudy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. How about in retrospect, by a 2021 perspective, should Jerry have been in the Heroes tribe and Colby in the Villains tribe in Heroes versus Villains? I think that would
based
go
on
off
his
original seasons.
Yeah, but based on Colby's edits,
mm-hmm.
after his first go out, he definitely turned into the villain. But and Heroes versus Villains even made it worse. But
yeah. We got a lot of questions about potential hypocrisy from Lex. Lauren, on this viewing of the season, what did you think about Lex's game and whether there was some hypocrisy?
Oh, 100%. No question. I wrote even down the quote, you know, I have to find it, but he, you know, he says, I'll utilize friendships and, you know, to my benefit. And Kathy, same thing, says this is pure unadulterated play in the game. And that those existing relationships just don't matter compared to the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And it stood out more because I was watching for it, but
yeah,
it's always there.
Did either of you want to weigh in on something that we were debating on Wednesday night? Was okay. If hypothetically Amber got voted out at the final 10 and then they come in, what would Big Tom do if they got to the merge and it was a 9-person merge and basically Big Tom's potentially a swing vote?
I think that he probably swings.
Yeah.
You know, Big Tom's smart. You know, he doesn't necessarily come off that way, but he is. You know, I think a lot of the talk, and this came out in the reunion too, that a lot of the talk about, like, I never said your name, you know, like, wasn't really true. And so he obviously knew that he was not number two.
Big Tom is, or like, maybe number four. I think Big Tom is like all about like plausible deniability. Like he's like, hey, I'm just a goat farmer. I don't know. Like, but he is like, I never said that. Like, but he's like very slippery with exactly what he said. And, you know, it's like, well, I never said I wanted to vote out Rob. I said you could vote out Rob, but I never said I wanted to vote out Rob. You smell me? Yeah. What do you think, Rachel? Would Big Tom have flipped at nine?
I was going to say the opposite. He seems so under Rob's thumb. He just seemed to when they merge, you don't really see Lex and Big Tom reconnect at all. And I mean, that's part of the edit, but it's I don't see him turn in on Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Rachel, good point, because it's true that they never did.
They had
the option to, and they never did it. Mm-hmm.
Tom won immunity that one time, too.
Mm-hmm. I just think that whatever side was offering, like, the more palatable offer of, like, if, you know, Lex is like, all right, we took out Amber. Tom, you're going to vote with us and take out Rob? I don't think he would do that, but I think that he would be open to, would you take out Rupert? Like, would you take out Jenna? Mm-hmm. Big Tom never had to deal with them. So I think, and vice versa, where if Buzz were like, hey, all right, tonight we're taking out Sheehan. Like, I think that he would be on board for that, but it's like, hey, all right, we're going for Lex. And Big Tom is the swing and could have saved him. Like, I can't see Big Tom being the swing vote to take out, you know, Lex at that point. So,
no, I don't see that either.
Whatever got like the least blood on his hands, I think that's probably where he would have gone. Okay. All right. Then how about a question from Rob, can you revive your Jeff Probst Tribal Council impression from
yes,
Laren?
Please.
Yeah. I didn't really do an impression. I was just sort of like, all right, Laren, you're here. Like, it was just like sort of like the cadence of how Jeff was doing the Tribal Council. I just think it was like kind of novel that nobody had done that before on Survivor. We did have a fake Tribal Council also in the Amazon at Jabiru.
Who'd you vote out?
The night that Gene got voted out, We had a fake Tribal Council there. And then it was we had a lot of fun at Jabiru. That was like some of the most fun days that I had playing Survivor. But I don't remember who got voted out from the fake Tambaki Tribal Council. Maybe
underrated
Jenna Raskin,
I
remember.
Is Sue during that. She had to do Rudy and Jenna.
Her Rudy face just always kills me.
She was so funny. Okay. Can we please talk about Rafa's expertise? This is from Shondell. Was he skilled in the art of making actual houses, or did he know what to really look for in shelters for the island, such as the water collection apparatus from Saboga? So what do you think? Rafa was not like a Tata the Bushman type. Rafa, I believe, probably had a real house, did not live on the beach somewhere, correct?
I would assume.
Yeah.
He was billed as a contractor, right? That's what Jeff's, you know, he's a local contractor.
I think so. He had like a level, right? Like he wasn't like necessarily like somebody who was like a local.
He probably doesn't build, you know, shelters in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
I think anyone could have come in and picked Shapira to be the best friend. I mean, I don't know how to build a shelf. I failed my shop class, and I could be like, okay, this is definitely the best camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good camp. They did a good job. Okay, all right. Then let's take a question from Brian Hickey, who says, why wouldn't the producers want to do the mixer challenge, the guessing game of the boxes, every season? Can they not be done without you, Rob? Okay, why do you think they haven't done any more of those mixer challenges?
I love this challenge.
I don't see a good reason why they wouldn't.
It's such a great dynamic between the tribes, both seasons. You know, you have all the flirting and the Amazon, and this one you can see the relationships and like the bickering and stuff. It was great.
They have nicknames for each other. You can see a strategy too, because you shouldn't pull from someone on your own team.
Right.
But Savoca does, which tracks.
Yeah. Jack from Texas wants to know, Rob, if you had survived the original Shapara, did you have a plan on how to move forward? Would you have stuck with Rob and Amber, or would you try to loop in numbers from Saboga and Mogo Mogo to take them out? I mean, I basically was looking at the situation in Survivor All-Stars that I was looking at Boston Rob like Roger from Survivor the Amazon. I was like, okay, I'm with you. I'm with this group. Shapara, Shapara, Shapara. And then when we got to the merge, like I think I would have been, you know, a number to take out, you know, the leader. And then, you know, basically like when that happens, I feel like that's when I can really start to play the game. So, you know, good on Rob and Amber to suss out like who is the one person from Shapara who was not gonna like go down with the ship. But that, I mean, that was as far as I got. I didn't have any other good ideas other than, you know, I just felt like, especially like, not even that I felt like I even needed to do it. I was like, all right, I just watched Survivor Marquesas. I know how Boston Rob plays. He's gonna implode. And it just never happened. And so maybe like credit to Amber for being sort of like the regulator to make sure Rob never went like full Marquesas Rob.
And she takes credit for that too very often. So it must have, there must be truth to that dynamic.
Yeah. Maybe she should have been like, hey, did you see this guy on Survivor Marquesas? Like, what do you think stopped him from going full Marquesas? Right, Kathy? You saw him in the Marquesa. You know what he's like. I know. But I still think he's a good guy. I still think there's some good inside him. Okay. All right. Let's see. Some of the questions about me from the listeners. Okay. Rob, what season would you see yourself on if they didn't cast you for All Stars? How would you do? I've never thought about that. I don't know. Like, I think if I didn't play, that was it. Right? When am I coming back?
Is the next chance Micronesia?
I mean, it is, but they didn't bring back anybody from before. Only Johnny Fairplay was really before the first All-Stars. And I think that Johnny Fairplay would probably have my spot. I don't know who I'm replacing on the Micronesia cast. Maybe Penner?
Yeah.
I don't know. So I think that by Heroes versus Villains, I'm like long forgotten about. So I think that was it. What are you going to do?
Maybe like Game Changers or something.
Maybe I would have come back with Stephanie LaGrosa. Yeah, maybe. Or maybe in the second chance voting. Maybe I would have been taking Steven's spot.
I could see that.
That would have been fun.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's see. Mike Ramon says, it seems like you were having a good time for the first few days. Does this jog any happy memories for you? I would not say I have a ton of happy memories from the All-Stars. I mean, I think that like the stuff that I look back at like the most fond of, I just feel like that we had a lot of fun with Big Tom, and like Sue would crack me up. Like I enjoyed, you know, hanging out with Boston Rob. I mean, Rob is a fun guy. I think the ocean was really nice. Like I actually, it was a better, when it wasn't raining, it was like a far better place to be stuck than in the Amazon, where you couldn't like, it was a beautiful beach when it wasn't raining. You get to hang out in the ocean and just like relax a little bit. Whereas in the Amazon, you know, you couldn't go in the water. So that part was nice, and it was super exciting. But fun? No, going on a cruise is fun. Survivor's not
as a fun. as a fan of the game, you had to love it.
Yeah, but I feel like I didn't even really get to play the game. You know, I feel like that by the time the game started, I looked up and it was over.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about
that. What was the culture like on Shapara early on? Because it was, I mean, we didn't see a lot of it. It was because you guys were winning everything.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of like, you know, Rob was sort of, you know, the boss, and Big Tom was sort of like, you know, his right-hand person. And then very quickly, you know, Amber was sort of like Rob's spending a lot of time with. So like there was like sort of like a real like jockeying for position, I think, between myself and Sue Hawk and Alicia for basically, all right, that's three that are very tight. Who's the fourth? For a long time, I thought it was me. And ultimately, like by the time we got to day 12, Alicia, you know, and Sue, had passed me, in the power rankings. But I did feel like in the very beginning of the game, like if we would have gone to the tribal council day three, day six, like, I think I would have made it through a tribal council.
It's so weird watching the first two episodes and how Rob is so critical of Sue.
Yeah.
And that you're the first one they want.
It is crazy. I believe me, I was there. Like, I'm like, yeah, but like, things aren't going great, but like, at least we're still going to vote out Sue and Alicia.
Yeah. And Alicia's yelling at everyone. So, And they had the big fight about the freaking bamboo that they're sleeping on. And
I think we might have gotten our first Survivor flashback. I could be wrong about that. When she says, you know, who made Amber his little in pocket girl? And then it cuts immediately to, I did not remember that. And it's such a great editing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what was going on. Okay. Sarah wants to know, does Rob still wear that Hawaiian shirt that we saw in the recap episode? I don't recall that I wore a Hawaiian shirt in the recap episode. But no, I probably do not have that. Okay.
I think they tried talking to you about that one in on the feedback show too.
Bobby Smith wants to know, how does the season turn out if Alicia is voted out in Rob's place? Well, this is the interesting part of this, where that if everything else stays the same, and so basically, I would still be on Shapira. Like I think I'm in the game until like day 27 at the least. Like maybe I get voted out instead of when Sheehan wins immunity. Maybe, like I'm probably the person that goes from Shapira.
My used dad gets to the merge.
Places.
Yeah, my dad used to say that. My dad was very bummed out that he's like, boy, if you just could have gotten one more day. You would have been there, because they don't like, I know, Dad. I know. He wasn't mad. He was just like, we were so close. And then who knows what would have happened. But yeah, I don't know. Like, and I would have definitely been like entertaining, like flipping. So I definitely would have been like a primo target to go home. But at least I would have got more screen time.
I was going to say, a lot of confessionals, we would have seen your confessional account probably go through
a lot of
confessionals. It was through the rip on Amazon, so.
So, you know, who knows? Who knows? Like, maybe, like, the best case scenario for me might have been had I, like, Shapira, like, I've been in the challenge instead of Alicia, and then Shapira lost and then basically got, dissolved. And then maybe, like, that's the only way that, like, I think we would have had, like, a different winner in the game. Like, I would have sucked so bad in that challenge that Shapira lost, gets dissolved, and then basically, like, Saboga absorbs, like, Boston Rob, and Amber goes to Mogo Mogo, and then, totally different season.
Mm-hmm.
One thing. Can change one thing. It would have been changed Survivor history forever. Okay. All right. Somebody named Amber wants to know, did Boston Rob and Amber try to hide their relationship? And how? No, they didn't hide anything. There was no hiding. Yeah.
Was it obvious it was romantic right away?
We were together for like a week before the game started. And were like super like lovey-dovey. And then the game started. And then she was just like basically like sitting on his lap like around the fire. We're like, all right, we're doing this. Nobody's going to say anything about this? Like, it blew my mind. Because to that point, and kind of since, like, that's not a good move. But it works for them. If you're going to do it in a small number tribe.
Yeah. All right.
Rudy Moser wants to know, has anybody moved into Rupert's Saboga Shack? Is it long gone? I think so.
Maybe a couple birds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's probably washed away. Ryan Patterson said, I thoroughly enjoyed this rewatch with one part withstanding, of course. Do you think that consecutive watches of modern seasons prior to this one boosted the liking for the season, or is it naturally good? Okay, I did not feel the same way. Have either of you been watching any of the other seasons in the countdown?
I haven't, to be honest. Okay.
So what? Yes,
there's a lot of them that I have recently watched.
Okay,
All the way through. Did not that, necessarily. Yeah, that
I'm a frequent rewatcher, anyways. So
okay. So did that give you a baseline at all for Survivor All Stars on this rewatch?
It points out, at least I think, that it's really good to have all returnees or no returnees, but mm-hmm. not a mix. Even though I love Kaer Morhen, but
I just think that the pacing gets very slow here.
That's what I didn't like. Yep. After the merge, after the Lexbu, I'm like, oh my god. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's when I quit taking notes.
So me too. Yes, me too. I took no notes.
Michael says, is this the most emotional and emotionally taxing season of all time? Yeah, I mean, this is heavy this season.
It's definitely heavy. A lot of not just the personal relationships, but Jenna, the Rich and Sue thing.
It's
ugliest tribal council by far.
Yeah. Yeah, this season, it is an emotionally draining season. It's also the longest season. It is, you know, that really puts you through. Like, and there's some happy emotions, like with, depending on your Robin Amber feelings. But this is like a very, like, emotionally draining season.
I think the weather plays a lot into that. Yeah. I remember Rob saying somewhere that he had a toothache towards the end and needed a root canal. You can tell, like, the guy's just miserable.
Everybody
and
is.
The times when it's sunny, it really lifts.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I feel it when I watch these rainy seasons, like, this is terrible. You know, like, I just as a viewer, like, it's a big difference for me when it's like, sunny and everybody's able to run around as opposed to like these wet, dreary seasons. But that's just a really good point from Michael about how just like emotionally draining Survivor All-Stars is. As Jerry Manthe said, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. All right. Kevin says, did All-Stars come too soon? Would it have been better to make season 10 and include Vanuatu and Palau? What would the cast look like? I think that when we look back in hindsight, shouldn't All-Stars have been season 10?
Makes more sense.
Now, hold on. You can't include, I guess, is Vanuatu season 8 then at that point? And then Palau is season 9? And All-Stars is season 10?
Yeah.
I guess so. All right. So then who's in and who's out? I think Boston Rob might be out by that point.
Shianna would definitely be out.
Shianna's definitely out. Okay. So Stephanie and Tom are definitely in.
I think Alicia would be out.
Alicia's so probably Stephanie gets Alicia's spot.
I bet Chris Doherty's in.
Chris is in. Interesting. I mean, I think that probably Amber and Jenna Lewis are out also. And I think that Amy is in. Like, I don't know how many Vanuatu people we ultimately get. I guess, I mean, Eliza's going to play in Micronesia, so maybe Eliza gets, like, the Amber spot.
Didn't they? They said they wanted one from each, at least.
Yeah.
So we'd have to have, like, Helen in, or...
Well, Helen didn't even make the cut when it was...
I know, but if Shianne doesn't make it...
Oh, do we have... Yeah.
That's true, but Thailand's just so rough.
Oh, yeah.
I think they might skip it. They might skip it. But yeah, I don't know what the rush was, why they wanted to necessarily do it in the same year as Pearl Islands.
Was that the same time that they did the Big Brother All-Stars? I feel like that came a couple years later, right?
Which ones?
The first Big Brother All-Stars with...
what it came a year... No, you know what it was? I'll tell you what it was. I believe, I could be wrong about this, okay, that... the CBS needed to compete with the final season of Friends, and that's why they did it in the spring of 2004. So they wanted, they Survivor was like, okay, we're going to get crushed by the final season of Friends, and so we need to do something bigger than the final season of Friends, and that's why they do, and they even bring out America's Tribal Council, because the finale of Friends, I guess it only goes until May 6, 2004. So actually, so Survivor is going to outlast the run of Friends.
Because they were on Thursdays then, right?
Yes, it was on. It went up against Friends, and so that's what they needed to do. So that's why they didn't do it a year later. Numerically, it would have made much more sense. 5-year anniversary, we'll do it for season 10, but they wanted to beat Friends.
They had a ton of momentum off Pearl Islands too.
Yeah, but they announced the plan after Survivor Amazon. So what had happened was, it was like right after the Survivor Amazon finale, I went to the CBS upfront, which is basically like what they do to like sell the show to the advertisers. And so they told us, you're just going to come out, say, and they want to like, it was me. It was the final six from Survivor the Amazon. It was me, Jenna, Heidi, Matt, Butch, and Christy. And so they basically were like, okay, you're going to like come out and then like just sort of like wave to everybody. And we get there, and then I see like Richard Hatch is there, and like Sue Hawk and Rudy and Tina and Ethan and Jerry. And then I'm like, what are you guys doing here? And Richard's like, yo, you don't know about the All-Stars? I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, yeah, they're doing the All-Stars. I was like, what? I didn't know anything about this. And then they announced it like there. They said like, let's like, you know, they's like, welcome to the cast of season 6 and season 7. We're going to have Survivor Pearl Islands. And then in season 8, we're going to have Survivor All-Stars. And they also had Kelly Rowland there to perform I'm a Survivor in front of all of the ad buyers at CBS. But yeah, they brought out like, oh, look, the Survivor All-Stars. Here's Richard Hatch, Rudy, Tina, Jerry. You know, and so they introduced all of them also on the stage. So to get people hyped for next year's Survivor All-Stars.
When did you get called compared to how far after that did you get called?
I mean, then I think I probably started talking with, you know, Lynn Spillman like very shortly after that. And they were like, it's not a done deal. We need to get your medicals. We need to see. But when I was at that night, like I was like sitting with like Mark Burnett at a table, and somebody asked Mark Burnett, like, oh, is Rob going to be on the All-Stars? And Mark Burnett said, is the Pope Polish? So I knew that I was going back. Mark Burnett basically had already said, but, you know, but Lynn Spillman was like, hey, just so you know. And like Jeff Probst called me over the summer and was like, hey, you better make sure you know how to make fire. You better know, because this is All Stars. And I'm like, eh. Like, if my tribe is counting on me to make the fire, we're dead. We're going to die. We're all dying. I'm not learning how to make fire. Forget this. But now you better know how to learn. I've never been made fire. I've never had to yet.
Okay.
How hard could it be? I mean, I've seen it a million times. You take the thing and you go like, and then it looks very easy.
They did a lot more of this in the early seasons. Now they go,
Now you got screwed. Like I've seen it done a million times. Magnesium. Yeah, basically, like haven't been in the lab, but I've read the textbook of how to do it.
There you go.
Okay. I have tried with Flint before. It didn't work.
I'll try it one day.
I got some lighter fluid and a match.
Yeah. When I get in the backyard at some point, I'll give it a try. Okay. Xavier says, what outcome would have made this season be remembered more fondly among Survivor fans? Does anybody think that maybe perhaps a Boston Rob win, or maybe what about a Rupert win?
I think Rupert win.
Rupert win, people would have been pumped up?
At the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Rob is still so popular, and that's an enduring quality of his that maybe I think a Rob win would make people remember it more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think about how Amber was booed for wearing an I Heart Rob shirt at the finale.
That was a salty audience. They were ready to boo people and cheer for Rupert. That was it.
That's true. poor Jerry.
Yeah. I have a confession. I bought one of those shirts with the help of a couple of beverages.
Yes.
And I had it on 15 minutes before we started this, and then I took it off.
Took it off. Yeah. The,
I'm never going to wear it. Where would I wear that? Except- mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was going to.
You can really see it with the camera.
Yeah. Maybe I'm going to get Nicole with her Cricut machine to make a I Heart Rob C shirt. We'll see. Nice. See if she'll do it. Like, you know, Amber, she worked very hard on that. Nicole has never thought to make that shirt yet for me. Yeah. Okay. Anything else about Survivor All-Stars? Do you have a favorite moment that we haven't talked about?
Those first three, maybe four episodes are a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the Jenna. But mm-hmm. so much fun. It's funny how it takes such a dark turn.
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree. And I don't mean to say it's just because I'm there. It's not like I'm making that much of a difference. But it really is like there's like a fun sort of attitude. And then it gets dark.
It could be momentum too. First All-Stars, who's going to be there and all that. But mm-hmm. yeah.
Lauren, how about you?
I just think they should always have a Home Depot challenge.
Yes. Always. Why? Why do you like it so much?
It's so fun. I miss challenges that they do at their beach instead of coming mm-hmm. into the, you know,
and challenges that help the tribe too. You know, like
yeah.
building a better shelter is helpful.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
You they can just build feed it. We them can now.
Help. Yeah.
Can I pose it in the?
Even getting the bath goods, you know, the shampoo and stuff. They don't do that anymore. It's all food.
Yes. Lauren.
Lauren. Also, what if?
Yes.
I've always wondered. I think that if this were in the idol age,
yes,
Moga Moga would have a disadvantage at finding idols because their color is green.
And oh.
Don't you think?
Yeah, that's a great point.
If you're looking at red or yellow string wrapped on a package, but it looks like a leaf, you know, if you're Mogo Mogo.
Yes. Nora describe that in season 39 of that trying to remember what she called
she
that.
She did a thing where she like made herself see it. I don't.
Yeah.
I can't remember what she called it, but she kept saying green or blue or.
Hmm. Yeah. So yeah, that's a very good point about like looking, or maybe was it Ben who talked about that? When he was teaching Denise how to find the idols. But yeah, that's a really astute observation, Lauren.
I just think it would have changed the game.
Yeah.
Idols do anyways, but
sure.
It's just interesting that one tribe is at such a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. Do either of you have a question for me about Survivor All-Stars that I could answer for my 12 days and trip to the finale?
Was there anyone from Amazon that you were expecting to see that you didn't?
Well, we thought that maybe Heidi had a chance to be there, but she didn't get picked. I think that Heidi might also say that she declined because I went during the summer of 2003. I went for they had like a CBS summer press tour, and I went to they would have like the CBS people meet people that were on CBS shows, and they flew out me and Jenna and Heidi, and we went to the party, and then we had lunch with Lynn Spillman. We went out for sushi with Lynn Spillman, the three of us and Lynn. And then, so Heidi was definitely in the mix. And then we went hiking with Colby. And Colby was like, only wanted to talk about, he only wanted to hang out with Jenna and Heidi.
No real surprise
yeah.
there.
and then very embarrassingly, then Jenna Lewis met up with us then that night. And we were at like this hotel, like by the pool. And I was talking to her about Survivor All-Stars. And she was asking like, who do you think is going to be on it? And I was telling her who's going to be on it. And she's like, well, do you think that I'm going to be on it? And I was like, no, I don't. And then she was very embarrassed.
Do you think she would have voted you out for that if you guys had been on the same?
I think she holds a grudge. Yeah. Yeah.
I can see it.
And Jenna Lewis and I went on to, you know, like when I did my first podcasting, she was like my co-host when I first moved to Los Angeles in 2004. And, you know, she's a very good like radio person. So I did get to have a lot of fun with Jenna Lewis eventually. But no, I did embarrassingly say to her face that, no, I did not think that she was making the cut for the All-Stars. Little did I know. Okay. All right. Well, this was so much fun.
Yes, it thank was. You.
Yes.
It was great to talk to you about one of your seasons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, my better known season, Survivor All-Stars. We'll close the book. Yeah. Okay. No. Definitely not. We will
I have
talk
to say,
about
I didn't watch Amazon until I had already been listening to the podcast for a couple of years. So this was the only Rob C I knew.
Yeah. So
it is one of the best rewatches, I think.
Okay. Next week, Survivor Vanuatu. Do either of you have any quick takes about Vanuatu? The 23rd best season of Survivor.
I thought it was boring after All Stars.
Yeah.
Too big of personalities and you're used to it and then wah wah.
Is Vanuatu the one with the guy with one leg?
Yes, Chad. Chad is there.
He was at my college orientation. Oh. So that's what I always think of.
As like a celebrity speaker?
Yeah. He did a really good job. Nice guy too.
Chad. Yeah, there you go. All right. There you go. All right. Rachel or Lauren, do you have anything that you want to plug or promote? If anybody wants to keep up with you, that's fine too.
I'm on Instagram if you want to look at pictures of my cat and follow my weight loss surgery journey.
Oh.
Rachel Irene 117.
Yes. All right. That's exciting. Everything's going great on your journey?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, down 100 pounds.
Oh, Rachel, congratulations.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's wild. So, yeah, congratulations on all that. And Lauren, this was so fun to get to chat with you as well.
Yeah, I'm really not one for the social media too
much. No problem. But I appreciate you being here.
Thank you. We have
a busy night still here to come that is going to be the first ever Patron karaoke. We've tested it out on our RHAP Discord. And so we are going to get that kicked off tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. You have to be there if you want to be, but we are not recording it because I think that the people will not be so eager to participate if we were recording it. So it's you had to be there, but it's going to be live at 8 p.m. Eastern. First ever patron karaoke. And if it's a hit, we'll try it again next month. How about that?
Fun. Very fun.
Yeah. And of course, if you're joining us for the first time, you ever heard one of these, and of course, you want more great patron content, like our weekly top 40 feedback show that we do with the patrons, answering more questions, the patron 5 for 5. This week on Tuesday, we'll be having our patron cast. We're doing it on the first week of the month, and then I've been doing on the last week of the month new patron orientation. So lots of great shows, lots of activities coming up, including a patron mafia night 1 week from today, and we'll be back with another patron, Brant Steele. And for the first time, we'll have a tribe of all new May patrons coming up in this month's patron Brant Steele. We're going to do a fans versus favorites with a tribe of brand new, fresh meat people coming in for kicking off the month of May at robinswebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much for watching. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.